change lives because your hands, your voice is the voice of God crying out and reaching out to the nations. Amen? Because Christ dwells in each and every one of us. And if Christ is in us, then we should be being Christ-like. And Christ moved in the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, you say, Andrew, that's a challenge. I've not done that before. That's okay. Because at some point, we're going to get into some practicing.
Amen.
It is good to practice in safety the things of God. You know, when you learn to drive a car these days, you go and you get somebody who teaches people to drive, and they have the accelerator, I think, and brake pedal and clutch all on the other side of the car as well, just in case you get into a panic or a situation where you don't know what to do and you freeze. They have got the controls. So guess what? God's got the controls. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, we want to see each and every one of you stepping out in the future in the things of the power and the presence and the Holy Spirit. You know, since the beginning of this year, we've seen a move up of the presence of God. And I believe that God wants to use you, because without you, the church is nothing. So you have to get involved. It is not up to Andrew and Daniel and Grace and Ken and Pauline and Joan and Helen and just a few people, but it is up to each and every one of us to be the powerhouse of the Word of God. Who can you reach today, tomorrow, that I can't reach? And you can touch them with the presence and the power of God that resides in each and every one of us. All we've got to do is release it. Release it. Release it. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Just what the disciples did. And we are His disciples.
Amen.
So I'm going to try and pick up from where we left off, which is a challenge. I think we finished off where at the beginning of the book of Acts, where the Holy Spirit was given and the people were being filled with the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 men got saved that day of Pentecost, when the disciples themselves were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, just let me re-emphasize this point. The Holy Spirit is not just for speaking in tongues. Okay? It is not so that you can just talk to God in an unknown language. It is given to you and to me that we might be empowered. That is the reason when you read Scripture, Jesus says, tarry, wait in Jerusalem until you are filled with the Holy Ghost and power. Power. You know. The Church of Jesus needs some power. Come on. We don't need to be just, you know. Come on, it's power that the church needs. Jesus came in the power and the authority of heaven. Amen? Amen. We're the power people. And we're not flower power from way back, are we, Charles? You know, we are the people of the power of God that is residing in each and every one of us. That's who we are. Praise God. What are you telling them, Daniel? We've set him on fire. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. So Jesus gave his disciples the authority and the power. And this is before the Holy Spirit was given. If we look in Matthew chapter 18, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18. Has everybody found it? Amen. It says there. Matthew 18 and verse 18. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Wow. The Holy Spirit is not yet given to everybody. The Holy Spirit was given at that time to Jesus. And as we read in the Old Testament, at times the Holy Spirit was laid upon the prophets and the king, but it was not, and the priest, but it was not a general outpouring of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. But today, we live in that day where there is a full available outpouring of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there Jesus is right in the midst. There the Holy Spirit should be in the midst of us. And I know there are people who will turn round and say that miracles died with the last apostle. Humbug. Rubbish. There are people who say that healing finished with the last of the apostles. Rubbish. Even this last year gone, I've seen people being healed and touched by the power of God. Set free, healed and delivered from the demonic power of the devil. And just remember, the devil is underneath our feet. Let's keep him there. Don't let him get any higher. Don't let him start working on your mind. You see, the battle that goes on today goes on in our minds. Did God say? Just a seed of doubt. Just one seed of doubt. And you think, yeah. And you lock onto that. You know what happens with a seed? It begins to grow and produce something, doesn't it? And if it's a seed of doubt, if it's a seed of fear, it produces something ugly. It becomes like a weed or a vine that entwines you and stops you from being free. But God has called us to take captive every thought in our mind. You see, this is where the battle goes on. This is the heavenlies where the battle happens to be raging at times. Have you ever gone to bed and all of a sudden everything's been fine in the day and you've gone to bed and then all of a sudden, boom. Yeah? You been there? I've been there this week. You know? Raging. Battling with thoughts. Having to take them captive. And you know, I found one of the best ways for me to take them captive was to begin to pray in tongues. It's like a machine gun. You know, and the enemy goes down. Just blast him in tongues. You know, begin, you see. What we have to remember when we speak in tongues, there are tongues of worship. There are tongues of praise. There are tongues when we can prophesy. And there are tongues when we can do warfare. And they are different. They are different tongues. I know when I'm doing warfare. It changes. Things get mean. Hallelujah. The power of God begins to move in our lives, and we need to press into this. And so, God wants you to move in the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to keep saying this because I want you to catch hold of this. I want you not to forget that God has not given up on the church. God has not given up on the people. He is for us and not against us. He has got good gifts to give us. Amen?
Amen.
And it is for those who love God that God has got good gifts. And all I can do is encourage you, begin to draw near, keep drawing near, keep drawing near to God. And you might say, well, I don't feel worthy. Well, let me tell you this. None of us are worthy. None of us. But, and get this, we have all been made worthy through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm not worthy. But guess what? Jesus has made me worthy. He's put the robe of worthiness upon me. And He has made me worthy. He has given me the permission. And He's given me the ability to stand in the presence of Almighty God. And talk to my Heavenly Father. Wow. What a privilege that we are able to talk to the Creator one to one, corporately together. We can do this. We are allowed because we are sons and daughters of the living God. Hallelujah. In Mark chapter 6, if you will turn with me to the book of Mark, and chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 and verse 7. And He, Jesus, summoned, called to Him the 12, and began to send them out two by two in pairs. And He, Jesus, was giving them authority over unclean spirits. And He instructed them that they should take nothing for their journey except a mere staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belt. Trusting in Him. Trusting in the Father to make provision. The disciples were filled with the power of God as they went out. And Jesus gave them authority and power over the unclean spirits. Praise God. Now I just want to just move you into Luke for a moment. Just move into Luke's Gospel in chapter 4. I just want to show you something. This was just after Jesus was baptized in water. Hallelujah. And then Jesus, as you know, when He came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit came upon Him like a dove, and it says He was filled with power. And then He was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days. Being tempted by the devil, and He ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, He became hungry. And the devil said to Him, can you imagine that? You're really 40 days, 40 nights, you've gone without food. And all of a sudden, the devil sidles up to you. says, "Hi, Sam." He says, "If you are the Son of God, tell the stones to become bread." Fresh baked bread. Nothing like fresh baked bread with some real butter on. You know? None of this margarine stuff. Real butter. Tastes delightful. I can remember I used to go as a child to the bakery every Saturday and bring back two full hot loaves of bread. And the first thing I did when we got home was cook one of them and got the butter out and just enjoyed that butter and fresh bread. It was a delight. Oh, so here he's not had food. Jesus has not had food for 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil sidles up to him and says, "If you are the Son of God," see, it's a thought. If, it's a doubt, question to him. "If you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." The temptation is now to deal with the flesh. Boy, I'm hungry. I really would love a fresh loaf of bread. I'm hungry. And Jesus comes straight back at the devil and answers him and says, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." And straight away Jesus crushes the desires of the flesh. Next, in verse 5, the devil, he says, he led him, Jesus, up to show him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "I will give you all these domains and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomsoever I wish." All of this belonged to Adam, but Adam gave it over to the devil, and the devil's now saying, "Hey, I can give it to anybody who I want. All you've got to do is bow down and worship me." There he says that in verse 7, "Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall all be yours." Now Jesus is now having to decide with this soulish man, the mind, and bring victory. He's thinking, "Yeah, I could be ruler of the world, every nation." But he's dealing with the mind, the selfish, soulish man. Verse 8, it says, "And Jesus answered and said to him, It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And verse 9 it says, "And then he was led to Jerusalem, and the devil had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself off from here, for it is written, He will give his angels charge over you, concerning you and guarding you, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And then he goes on, Jesus said and answers and said, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And Jesus is dealing with the body, he's dealing with the mind, and he's dealing with the spirit. Because our spirit is born again. Our spirit can only communicate with God. And so there's a releasing of the power of God into our lives. He says in verse 13, "And when the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time." And then Jesus went about his public ministry. He went into Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And the news spread about him throughout all the districts In verse 14 it says, and Jesus is out there preaching the kingdom of God, declaring the power of God. Let's look into Luke 24. Luke chapter 24. And verse 49. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. We'll start at 48. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. We are to be clothed with power. Where from? On high. From God the Father. We are to be clothed in power. Not just, oh, take a sip of this, but he is laying a robe of power upon us. An anointed robe of power that it never comes off us. It is always on us. And we walk in that robe of power and authority because it has been given to us. If you're filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit, then you walk under the covering of that robe of power. And Jesus said, I'm sending you. I'm sending the Holy Spirit. Just as my Father promised. But stay here until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from on heaven. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. There was an anticipation in their heart. There was a belief and an understanding that there was something special for them about to happen. There was something special. And it says in verse 53, and they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. What a place to be. In the temple, in the presence of God, blessing God, praising God. And that's where the church needs to be. We need to bless God, we need to praise God, we need to know that the power of God is about to break in upon us. We have to begin to prepare ourselves. The disciples were preparing themselves for a fresh, new anointing that came from God, that came right down from heaven. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had now come, they were all meeting in one mind. One mind. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples came, and 3,000 souls were won to Christ on that day. Wow, could you imagine that happening? You know, there's not 120 of us. But it just needs a few of us to get filled, to get excited, to be filled with the power of God and then say, I'm going to release this. You have the power within you to change the destiny of men and women. Think about that for a minute. You have the power of God in you to change the destiny of men and women. Wow. You have the power of God to bring about a miracle. To bring about a miracle. You have the power of God in you to heal the sick, open blind eyes, cast out demons. raised the dead. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. You see, Jesus was limited to meeting people a few at a time. But when the Holy Spirit came upon those 120 disciples, suddenly Jesus multiplied. See, my God, your God, should be a God of multiplication. Jesus multiplied himself 120 times. Right there at Pentecost. Peter stood up and preached. You know, this young man who was afraid of a little girl, who said, you're one of his guys, aren't you? You've been with Jesus. No, not me. No, I've never seen him. Don't know anything about him. He started cursing and swearing. And he denied Jesus 3 times. Deep down, he's a coward. On the outside, he's, you know, as soon as it gets tough, I'm leaving. He's a coward. When the presence of the Holy Spirit got hold of him, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he suddenly changed him from being weak-willed to being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he stood there in front of thousands of people and preached the gospel of new life in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit has come to enable you. He's come to equip you. He's come to fill you and make you ready to do the work of the kingdom. See, Jesus could only be in one place at one time when he physically walked this earth. So he had to send his Holy Spirit, who can be wherever he wants to be, all the time, everywhere, at the same time. So right now, here in England, the Holy Spirit's here. But he's also in Nepal. He's also in America. South Africa. The Holy Spirit is moving throughout the world. How does he do it? No idea. Don't really care. As long as he continues to do that mighty work and ministering into lives and ministering to us. And so Jesus left and went to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit for you and for me to equip us, to empower us, so that we today can go about doing the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. People might say, well, I've not been trained. Personally, you've seen it so many times, the presence and the power of God moving through my life and touching and healing people. But it's about a desire and a preparation and a trust in God, saying that I will believe, I will step out in faith, and I will lay hands on the sick, and then after that God has got to heal them. And the power and the presence of God begins to move. Fifthly, miracles. I don't know whether we'd call Hannah in Romania a miracle when God opened the ears when she'd never heard a sound for 65 years from birth. I think we could probably call that a miracle, not a healing. We saw a miracle. God moving in power. It is exciting when you see a miracle. Every day when somebody gets saved, gives their life to Christ, it is a miracle. The greatest miracle that can happen, because it's an eternal miracle. And then sixthly, we can have prophecy. It's great when somebody will prophesy into your life. You still have to do something about it. You still have to walk in that preparation. many times, and just get this right, you know, when somebody gives you a word of prophecy about something in the future, you need to have heard it yourself before from God. We talked about this the other day, didn't we? You know, some people go to church because there's a new minister coming to town and they want him to prophesy over me and tell me everything that's going to happen. And when he's done that, I'll just be able to stand there and it will all happen all at once and I won't have to do anything about it. Because we're an idol set, really, when you start thinking about it. We're lazy, aren't we? You know, if somebody else can do it, we'll let them. Well, let's change our tack. Let's begin to be people who are proactive. Okay. Start seeking God first. And hear the voice of God first for yourself. And it's great if the prophet comes into town and says, I have a word for you. And you say, wow. And he gives you that word and you say, God told me that earlier. I heard that from God. We're not into witchcraft. We're into God confirming his word to you. There's the difference. You know, you have to hear it first. And then God confirms it. Because God wants to have a conversation with you. God does not want to talk through a second party to you. You see, Jesus died that we might have a direct line to God. Yeah. And then he, of course, you know, we're creatures who doubt at times. We're creatures who are not, you know, sometimes, is this just my mind? Lord, bring a confirmation. And somebody might walk in and say, I've got a word for you from God. Never seen you before and gives you anything. And they give you this word and you're like, wow, that's what God told me a few days ago. God hears your prayer. God listens to your voice and God wants to confirm his word to you. Discerning of spirits. Another gift of the Holy Spirit. You can discern what spirit somebody's of. You can discern whether it's a demonic force that needs to be dealt with. And it is so important even today that we as the Church of Jesus Christ have to learn to discern what spirit some people are of. The forces and powers of darkness, even in our land. I know years back when I started to move in this area of discerning of spirits and deliverance, that I got told, this is England. This is England. We don't have demons in England. Really? Wow. Oh boy. I didn't realize that. It's a lie. Yeah, you're right. It's an absolute lie. And even more so today, because there are more and more nations that have gathered in our nation. And they've brought their baggage with them. They've brought their gods. They've brought their idols. And they've brought their spirits with them. And the church needs to stand up and declare the power and of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church needs to operate in the ministry of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then there are various tongues and there are various, and also then there are various interpretation of tongues. Praise God. What a variety. And that's just a list of nine. I could go for, and I can bring about 27 more things that are given by the Holy Spirit. But that's just the beginning. If you move into Romans 12 and verse 6. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6. We can go through some more just there. Since we have the gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us exercise the gifts accordingly. You've got to exercise these things. You've got to practice these things. And so in our church environment, we can practice moving in the presence and power of God. When we were in Romania teaching on this subject, we did exactly the same thing. We said, come on, start to listen to God. We're going to wait on the Holy Spirit. I want you to bring a word. I want you to hear God. See, God is constantly speaking to his people. The trouble is, we're not tuned in. We need to tune in. So often we're that busy spending time on Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, whatever else there is that goes on in the world. And we don't have time to be still and know that I am God. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Sometimes it's good just to turn your phone off. I think it was, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, I had had a day where I was just iPhoned out. I had answered that many phone calls, that many questions, that many emails, that many messages, that it got to somewhere like 6 o'clock at home and I said, that's it. And I turned it off. I said, am I phoned out? I'm done. No more. Facebook, whatever else, messengers, finished. It doesn't come on until 9 o'clock in the morning. What a relief to just be able to turn it off and then focus on my relationship with my Heavenly Father, who's trying to get through to me. He's trying to get through, because there should be this constant conversation with our Heavenly Father. He can handle it. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to speak to him. So sometimes, turn it off. Turn your phone off, turn God on. Turn your phone off, turn God on. Be still and know that I am God. Turn your TV off. Be still and know that I am God. Turn your music off. Even if it's Christian music. Let God speak to you. Because sometimes he wants to speak in that still, small voice. And you know, when you've got everything going on around you, you can't hear the still, small voice. Sometimes we need to just shut it down. Even in our times of worship, we give time and space. Lord, if you want to speak, speak to us. Come on. Speak, O Holy Spirit. Just talk to us. Minister to us. And the more and more that we give him time and opportunity, he will begin to move through each and every one of us. Because God wants to use you. You see, God can use you to say something that you've never heard before. Right? And it'll be the truth of God. Speaking maybe into somebody's life in the church who you've not spoken to even. That freaks people out. Don't you, Felicia? Huh? First time I met her. Came out for prayer in the church, didn't you? Is that right? Or did I speak to you before? I can't remember really now. So when you came out with her, she came out for prayer and boom! God said things to her that, wow. I don't think anybody knew that, did they? God spoke to her. I never heard it before. It wasn't something I knew here, but it was something that my Heavenly Father knew by the Holy Spirit, put it into my spirit that I might speak it out. Because God wanted to meet with her. God wanted to meet with her, to touch her, to begin a new journey. Amen. To begin a new purpose for her life. Amen. To set her on that road of victory and triumph in God. And it is a journey. You know, like the old beam us up, God, in you have to be on some of you a lot into it, you know. But you know, just you know, you can't just appear there and think that's it. No, there is a journey. Life is a journey. Spiritually, our spiritual life is a journey in Christ. We start off as babes in Christ and come into a place of maturity. of knowing and understanding the living God. And so it is important that each and every one of us begins to prepare ourselves so that in verse 7, one of the gifts, it could be that we have a gift of serving the church, we serve God, serving the ministry, we serve God. It could be that verse 7 it says, he who teaches, let him teach. Verse 8, he who exhorts, let him bring an exhortation, an encouragement to somebody. And to those who give liberally, let them be liberal givers. You see, that all of this is ministry that we have in our lives. To those who show mercy with cheerfulness. And let love flow without hypocrisy. Let the power of God begin to move through you. Let God begin to use the giftings that He wants to use in you to stir you, to move you forward in the things of God. In 1 Corinthians and chapter 14 and verse 27 it says, if any man speaks in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or three at the most, and that by course, and let one interpret. And if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two and three, and let others judge. That's something else that tends not to happen in church. The prophet stands up and says, thus saith the Lord, and everybody says, yeah, that'll be right. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, let the other prophets in the church judge the prophecy. You see, it's keeping the flock safe, it's keeping the church safe, so it doesn't just wander off in one direction. And it is so important. And so, in the church, there should be more than one prophet. Woo! Glory to God. In the church, there should be more than one person who has the gift of healing. Yeah? Get this building full and get a prayer line of people. You're going to leave it just to one person to pray? No. Body of believers functioning in signs, wonders and miracles. I have a question for you. And I might finish with this. I don't really know when I started, to be honest, but I'll probably finish with this. I have a question. I've asked this question before to some of our other folks, so those of you that heard this question before, please do not answer it. Those that haven't heard it before, I want you to think about this. What is the best gift that God can give to you? You've heard the gifts read out. Which is the best gift? Holy power. Okay. But let's go back to the gifts. Let's just focus on the nine gifts, shall we say. Alright, I'm being picky because I want to bring out a point, that's all. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I just want to hear what you're thinking is at the moment. You know, there are seven gifts: wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning the spirits, various kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Which of those do you think would be the best gift? Okay. Other tongues? Okay. Anybody else? Yeah? Yeah. Okay. So I'll just say that. So, comment there is that we should seek prophecy, because Paul encourages us to prophesy, and to, you know, it's a good gift. Yeah. It's a great gift. Absolutely. So all nine are great gifts. But let me say this. If we have a prayer line of sick people, and you have the gift of prophecy only, Where do you fit with his prayer life? If you have the gift of tongues, and we have a prayer line of healing the sick, that means you're sat down. Yeah? You understand what I'm saying? So, I realised when I was praying over the gifts of the Spirit, and I realised this many years ago, that the best gift that each and every one of us can have at any time, are you ready? This is a real secret that is to be revealed to you. This is the best gift that you need, that you can have at any time. Right? Are you ready for it? Yeah? Every gift is available to us. And we have to be ready to receive it and to operate in it. Because if it's a gift of healing that's needed, then Lord, help. I need the gift of healing. And God says, here it is. And all we have to do is when we minister that healing power and that person gets healed, we give him all the praise. We give him all the glory. Because all the gifts came from heaven. All the gifts came from God the Father to you and me. So when we move in any of these gifts, we give Father all the praise and all the glory for sending his Holy Spirit into our lives. If somebody has their life is in a turmoil and they need a word of knowledge about a situation, then the gift of healing is no good. Yeah? You with me? If somebody's blind or has no eyes and we need a miracle, then the gift of miracles is something we really need. Yeah? You with me? You get what I'm saying? So, don't focus on going for one gift. Right? Be greedy. Go for them all. Because God is the one who gives gifts. And he gives, and he says, it says in the Bible, it says, he gave gifts to man. Not a gift. Amen? He's given gifts to us. Hallelujah! You know, not all of them operate all at the same time. Praise God, but they are there available to us. And when we go out on missions trips and you meet people and they come out for prayer and there's a language barrier and you're thinking, God, I need you, Father. I don't know what to do. But Lord, whatever this person needs, then Lord, you're going to have to do it. You, Lord, are going to have to give it through me to that person. Because in one sense, we feel that we don't have them, but yet they are available to us. All is available, just plug into heaven. Plug into that spiritual power through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I will go back to this last, the miracle of Hannah. When Anna came out for prayer for healing, she'd never heard as a child. She could not speak. And she came out and she's mouthing. I mean, this is even funnier. She comes out and she's mouthing in Romanian what bit she can mouth. Even the Romanians don't understand her, really. And she's mouthing to me in Romanian, and I don't understand Romanian, even though I've been out a number of times. But the other thing she said, you pray. My ears are gone. You pray. My ears are gone. I know what that means. I don't need you to tell me in English. I know what she wanted. And I went, I stepped back a moment, I think. Wow. This is a biggie. We've been going there 8 years. And she'd never asked for her ears to be opened. But that day she decided she wanted her ears to be opened. Praise God. And you know, as she stood there and I thought, well, Lord, I said, it's not me that's the healer. It's not me that can do that does miracles. I'm just a connector. And so we just laid hands on her and prayed with her. And then we found out later, a few days later, she began to hear. Oh, hallelujah. The miracle worker. The miracle worker. The Holy Spirit, through the name of Jesus, turned up and did a miracle. This is moving in the gifts of the Spirit. This is what I want to see the body of Christ doing. I'm not interested in people that keep telling me. And I've got a friend who lived in signs, wonders and miracles and now has gone into reform ministry and thinks that healings and all that sort of stuff is over and done with. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't. I'm reformed, but I'll tell you what, the Word has to be there in spirit as well. The Word, the Bible says the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Hallelujah. The Spirit gives life. And so when you read the Word of God, you read it and say, Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, show me what is hidden in these pages. Because you see, the intellects will read a Bible and say, there is no God. The educated people read a Bible and say, there is no God. And yet somebody like me will read the Bible and say, wow, I've just seen God. I've just heard God. And I've just seen a dimension that is not visible to the natural eye. And it is God Almighty. And the power of His Word. We're going to continue next week teaching on the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And if time allows, maybe next week we'll do some practicing and waiting on God. We shall also look at doing that on a Wednesday. Wednesday is for prayer in particular. So come and join us in prayer. And just let's pray through, because we want to see, I believe God wants to see His church empowered. I believe He wants to see His church quickened. I believe that we are not just here to sit on seats. We are here to hear the word of the Lord Himself, and we are here to act upon the word of the Lord. And we are here to be equipped, so that when we meet people on the streets and they say, oh, I'm not well, oh, can I pray for you in the name of Jesus? And they suddenly, boom, they're healed. And they're not Christians. I don't matter. Jesus healed people. Whosoever. He healed them. And the Sukra and Esther, you go out to Nepal, people that you come into contact with but not Christians, take the opportunity to lay hands on them. Pray for them. Pray that their spiritual eyes will be opened to see God. Pray that their spiritual ears will be opened to hear God. And pray that the deceit that has gone on in their mind will be washed away. And that salvation will come through your prayers and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your lives. And you will go in safety and you will come back in victory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for listening. I just want to encourage you that we need to press into more of the things of the Holy Spirit and to begin to hear God speaking in power. This last 2 or 3 weeks in particular, I personally have sensed a real presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to encourage you, come on, keep coming and pressing in. We will get the recordings downloaded onto the website as well. I've had a lot to do these last few weeks, but we will get them done. So praise God. The Lord bless you. If anybody wants prayer right now, if you want to just come out, we'll pray with you. And if anybody's sick, we'll pray with you. If anybody wants just that touch of the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon them, we will gladly pray with you in preparation. Because that's what it's about, preparing. Preparing yourselves. Be ready. Be instant in season. Amen. So if anybody wants prayer, then just come out right now and we will pray.